This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is the Lefty Pinkos. We are joined tonight, Emma said in the intro, we're joined by Claudine, who's a recent Taste of Radio graduate. For people who may not be aware of what that is, it's the training program that Joy runs. Emma and myself both did that course late last year to learn the basics of radio, and Claudine was recently part of a special Taste of Radio course. So, Claudine, maybe you can tell us a little bit about that Taste of Radio program that you did first up.
I think it was covered the same material as in any Taste of Radio course, but it was sponsored by, I think it was the Victorian Multicultural Council, to especially encourage people from faith communities and diverse ethnic communities to get involved with Joy and with queer media. So I think that was a great initiative too. And the people in the course were people from religious backgrounds, people who may have moved on from religious backgrounds but have that as part of their identity, and from a variety of migrant ethnic communities as well. So, yeah, adding a great sort of extra dimension to our rainbow community.
And Emma touched on in the intro that you are out as a lesbian within your community. What sort of barriers do you face within, like, having that religious background? What sort of barriers do you face in deciding to come out?
Well, yeah, and I have to say that everybody's, everybody's experience is different, and especially with Christianity in the West, especially, there's a huge diversity of the way people are treated in different churches and the different kinds of theological backgrounds that come into this. So I've actually only recently, well, relatively recently, come out. Some people, you can sort of tell or be pretty aware from early on, but I only sort of, I guess, came out to other people, say about 5 years ago or maybe less. And I was studying theology and involved in my church and in a few committees at the time. But I was, I suppose things were a bit easier for me because since I was a young adult, I'd been going to Christian groups that were pretty inclusive. I knew quite a few other gay people in the church, so I knew that there were areas where this was possible, where people were where it wasn't as hard as it could be in other churches. But it was still, coming out is always a huge decision, quite whether it's because of religion or family or whatever. There's so that wasn't an extra layer, but I don't think it was actually the most. I wasn't so much worried about whether homosexuality was wrong. It was more about, well, what does this mean for me, for my place in the church, and not really knowing how that would play out in the future.
You're listening to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9.
Claudine, I take it from your discussion earlier, you didn't have to go through feeling rejected by your church and looking for another one.
No. I'm not clear about where I was. I've moved churches a couple of times because I was studying theology and I was toying with the idea of ordination and decided that for various reasons, and sexuality wasn't, it wasn't an issue. It would have become an issue if I'd got that far in the process, but I sort of decided for other reasons not to go on with it. So that meant that I was, as a student, I was kind of moving between parishes a few times. So I'm an Anglican. I've been Anglican for about 20 years, and the Anglican Church in Australia and in Melbourne is really diverse, and I guess in the last 20 years I'd come to know which churches, which parishes, and which clergy and people were more accepting. So I've tended to go to those churches and to hang around those people.
And it does tend to follow who the people are. And the personalities could make one particular church welcoming or unwelcoming.
Yeah. So there's in the Anglican Church, it's kind of, there's multiple layers of bureaucracy going on. So there's the Archbishop has sort of authority over the church in a diocese like in Melbourne, and this Archbishop, he's I don't sort of personally know him. I'd say he's he could be more supportive, but he's a lot better than a lot of others I could think of.
But he's not an obstacle.
Maybe not personally, but it's another thing about the Anglican Church is that a lot of stuff goes through committees and bureaucracy. It's a bit like Parliament. It's structurally, they've actually adopted their structure from the Westminster system. So there's more kind of administrative ways to make to hold things up, to or to speed things through.
They go so far as refer to passing of laws, don't they?
They have this sort of own internal laws,
yeah.
And there's these annual meetings called synods of which are made up of clergy and lay people who make decisions or sort of in, you know, people propose changes to laws and the synods consider them. And that's the people who sit on those are as diverse as the whole church. So there's still a strong element even in Melbourne, even of people who don't accept the ordination of women, or and I know you'll be talking about Libby Lane later. Mm. The same sort of issue, that there's an idea among some that they interpret certain parts of the Bible to say women can't have authority over men or can't teach men. So you run the spectrum from that to parishes that have gay ministers, and I'd say that it's a very very much a don't ask don't tell kind of situation in Australia, that there are priests and significant lay people who everybody knows they're gay, but it's sort of, you want to make it, you make noise, but you kind of shake the boat a little, but not too much. So it's very, if there's going to be change, there's going to be very slow incremental change.
Excuse me. I'm interested to hear you say that you have to get change, it needs to be, incremental, and you can only shake the tree a little bit. I mean, I'm just interested, how do you sort of reconcile those different aspects of yourself, being a lesbian, being out and proud about that, studying theology, being an out and proud Christian, being a woman in that kind of environment as well?
Well, I guess to get a bit, preachy, I guess the core for me is I believe that Jesus loves me and he loves me as I am, and God created me as a complete package in the way that I am, and God's message is for everybody to love others and include others, and that's the core of it for me. And the problem with the church is that it's made of human people, so you've got all the sort of confusion and spite and anger and just plain disorganization layered on top of that simple message. And you need to have and I believe you need to have church, you need to have people meeting together to worship and study and do good works, because Christianity is a religion that's about people gathering together. It's not supposed to be an individual religion, though some people seem to practice it that way. So I guess for me, it's just always remembering where it begins with God's love, and saying that's the sort of a belief that's so powerful that it can't sort of be trampled by churches behaving badly. But it's that's what I want to believe. But it is hard to sort of it gets depressing sometimes.
As you say, it's a slightly more, in the Anglican Church, in your experience, it's slightly more fluid, flexible approach. There are churches, though, that still advocate conversion-type therapies, don't they?
I've fortunately never been involved in that myself. I thought I'd heard that the main sort of multinational organizations that ran those things
have gone.
Had closed, or somebody had said, oh, we were wrong. But I guess even if that decision's made at the top, it may take a while to for that to reach the sort of people in the suburbs, people in your ordinary parishes.
As a friend of mine said to me, there are enough churches to go around. You shouldn't find it all that difficult to find one that suits you.
No, and I think the main thing is to be aware that this is a possibility, and that there's many inclusive churches of all kinds of stripes. There's movements within the Catholic Church. There's Anglican groups. There's evangelical and Pentecostal groups. So being queer affirming doesn't then sort of put you in another box that says you've got to be a certain kind of Christian. There's as much diversity among the sort of inclusive churches as there is among the wider churches.
For someone coming out and they're in the position where they've been attending a church that's probably less welcome and a little more overt in that, and their family have gone to that church as a family unit, this puts an added layer of difficulty for them coming out.
It is, and this is something that I've had the fortune not to have experienced, because I came out as an adult. I don't go to the same church as my parents. Living in the inner city, there's more around you. So I guess if the great thing that's is the internet, is the web, that I think that's has a potential to break down isolation. So I'd hope that it's, for somebody, say, who might still be young and living with their parents, that it's still possible to get access to that information. For example, if I'm allowed to plug, Freedom to Be is one of the groups that provides that inclusive space. There's internet resources as well. There's blogs, there's directories. I guess you can just look up LGBT and Christianity and find both the sort of communities, either physical or online, that can support you, and also some of the theological study and teaching that's trying to say it's not a simple black and white take the Bible literally issue, that there's they're trying to unpack all those sort of messages about homosexuality that you get in some of the churches.
In an email conversation with a chaplain from Freedom to Be, and he counsels people who are coming out, and he said about half of his clientele are gay from the people he counsels. And it can be quite a long process, the reconciliation process.
Yep.
Something we've just touched on, and something I was told by a friend of mine that we might have to cover again, because it's a rather fraught area.
Well, I was thinking maybe I'd do a PhD on this, so half an hour is not going to get very far.
PhD in half an hour, we have done well.
We'll award that to you right now, graduated.
Claudine, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, it's been great.
It has been very much appreciated. You're on Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.